good afternoon, Shilam. It's a joy to be with you guys today. Last week, Pastor Sky and I were at Hongdae, and we preached a message called Sexual Boundaries, or I preached a message called Sexual Boundaries. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to download the podcast or watch it on YouTube. Today, I will not be preaching about sex. I'm sorry. That is disappointing to some of you. But instead, I'm going to share something that marked one of my favorite characters in the Bible. His name is Daniel. And I'm going to share about something that marked him. And I'm going to share in this message some life verses and some life lessons that have really marked my life. And so I hope you guys, especially, you know, those who have been at Shilam for a while, that you really receive this message and that you're really blessed by the word today. Let's look at Daniel 6:3. This is what marked Daniel. It says this, and I'll have the verses up here so you can read along. It says, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Daniel is the only character in the Bible that is described as having an excellent spirit. Daniel was in exile. He was a Jew. He had to serve the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire. If you like history, you'll see all this stuff lines up. It's all very much real in history. And he had to serve these wicked empires, and he became number two to the king, to multiple kings, not just the first king of the Babylonian Empire, but the next, and then the king of the Medes, who was the next empire, and then the king of the Persians, the next empire. Daniel was someone who was set apart. He earned the trust of everyone that he served, and God honored Daniel. God loved Daniel so much that Daniel got some of the most vivid dreams, vivid visions, and vivid angelic visitations that we read of in the whole Bible. Daniel was set apart due to the excellent spirit that was upon him. So the title of today's sermon is An Excellent Spirit. An excellent spirit. I'm going to share with you guys what it means to have an excellent spirit and three keys for you to develop an excellent spirit within you. Now, I want to make it clear, first and foremost, that this is not a self-help message. Okay, this is not a message of steps that you have to take with your body or with your mind, that you need to wake up at this certain time or you need to eat this certain food or you need to be with these types of positive people in order to become an excellent person. Daniel was not marked with an excellent body. Okay, praise the Lord. It doesn't take an excellent body to be distinguished among the kingdoms. We don't read anything about his body. Scripture does say that he was likely handsome or something in the very beginning, and that was why he was accepted into the empire. But that's not something you can really work on. Okay? So there's not some training regimen that you have to do to get an excellent spirit. Daniel's soul. Soul means mind, will, emotions. His personality type, okay? Was he phlegmatic? Was he melancholy? None of it mattered. It's not mentioned in the book of Daniel. We don't read about his emotional highs and lows or how his soul, his way of thinking, his will affected the empires. We don't read anything about that. All we read about is this excellent spirit. And what was this spirit referring to in Daniel? It's actually this word, excellent spirit. It's only found in the book of Daniel, and that word for spirit is also only found in the book of Daniel, okay, in the Hebrew language. This spirit is referring to something of the gods. Now, for Daniel, when it's referred to as excellent spirit, of course, it's dealing with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But Daniel didn't serve people that believed in Daniel's God. So when King Nebuchadnezzar or these other kings would say, "Oh, Daniel, you of this excellent spirit," they're saying, "You of the spirit of the gods." They're like, "Daniel, there's these other, you know, soothsayers and psychics and these other, you know, wizards and people that I have that you know, divine from these false gods. But you, your divinations are set apart." So what's interesting about this spirit is, one, it's very clear it's spiritual. For Daniel, it's of the Holy Spirit. For the world, they just recognize, Daniel, this isn't something to do with your body. It's not something to do with your soul or your discipline. It's clear that there's something supernatural about you. All right, so Christians, we recognize, wow, the Holy Spirit is upon this man's life. For non-Christians, they recognize, wow, there's something supernatural about this person. And this is how we should be living as Christians in this world, as people of salt and light. When non-Christians look at us, they shouldn't be like, oh, he's just a Bible thumper. Oh, he's just a Christian. Rather, when they look at us, they should say, oh, there's something interesting about this person. And it's not because they read these books on how to be a better you or, you know, read these books about, you know, the power of habit. There's a spirit about this person. There's something supernatural about this person. This is how people should view us. And for Christians, you should recognize, wow, the Holy Spirit is clearly upon this person. This person has an excellent spirit. So this leads to the first key to developing an excellent spirit. The first key is, number one, you must value the Holy Spirit over the mind and over the body. Mind meaning your soul. You must value the Holy Spirit over the mind and over the body. Zechariah 4:6 reads this, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Pastor Hannah was very prophetic as she was sharing during the prayer time, corporate intercession, about have you gotten the Spirit of God by your works? Have you strived to get this? No. All right, that's a lie of the devil that you got to work your body and work your mind in order to inherit something of the spiritual. The physical cannot inherit the spiritual. The spiritual can only be received by faith. Okay? And so how do we receive the Spirit? By valuing Him over our minds and over the rigors of our body. Daniel achieved great things because he chose not to lean on his body or his soul, but rather upon the Spirit. He prioritized God and the Holy Spirit over the desires of his soul and flesh. He fasted. He prayed. He sought the Lord. Daniel did not neglect his mind or his body, and this is important. I'm not saying just forget about your body and never exercise or don't worry about your soul, just ignore your emotions. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is prioritize the Spirit over these things. We live in a generation where self-help is all the rage, okay? Do it yourself, DIY, is extremely popular. Gyms have opened up all over Korea. I've lived here for over 11 years. I've never seen so many gyms ever before. Yoga, all these exercise regimens, stretching regimens, all these different fad diets are now hitting Korea just as they've hit America and other parts of the world. And smartphones, now people have more pictures of themselves than anyone before them. Okay, I mean, there are so many pictures of ourselves now on our phones, on other people's phones, on Facebook. Babies have more pictures taken of them than all of us combined, you know, in our lifetime. We're looking at images of people all the time. And when you keep looking at images of people, it's hard not to feel insecure. It's hard not to notice little blemishes. All right, I guarantee you, if you don't look at a mirror for 5 years, you're not going to be that insecure. All right, if there's no mirrors around you and no one's pointing out like, oh, you gained weight or oh, this, you know, like Koreans love to do. If no one does that, man, you're carefree. You're not worrying about the body. But we live in a nation where, man, they're quick to point out that, oh, you gained weight. Oh, you lost weight. You need to gain weight. Oh, you gained weight. You need to lose. And you can't satisfy. Okay? And it's constantly looking at image. And so people are focusing more and more on the body. And there is this belief, if you do this exercise, you're going to feel great and you're going to live great. If you do this diet, you're going to look great and you're going to feel great and you're going to live great. But I think all of us know, and maybe some of us are still learning, that while exercising is good and eating healthy is nice, your body is not the answer. And an excellent body never lasts. At some point, you're not going to be able to do all those same exercises. At some point, you're likely going to get sick of the diet that you're doing. All right? We need to take care of our bodies, but we can't make it our priority. It's not something that truly satisfies. Our generation also has more distractions than any other generation in history. Smartphones, internet, TV, music, easy access to travel, a plethora of restaurants. Seoul has a lot of restaurants now. And back in 06, I would just go to McDonald's for my foreign food. Now I can get almost anything I want. There's so many options. There's so many things that I can do to satisfy not just my body, but my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I could open up any of your Facebook feeds, and likely 90% of the pictures that I'm going to see are going to elicit some sort of emotion of, I wish I was there. I wish I was eating that. Oh, you know, this is what I want to do. And as you keep looking at Facebook feed and you keep looking at all the great things that everyone else is doing that they only do like once a year, but they make sure that they put it in your face so you see it on Facebook, a sense of, I don't have enough. A sense of, you know, I'm not content. Discontentment starts to rise up in our souls. And our emotions start to feel like, oh, I need this in order to be happy. I got to go there in order to be happy. I got to eat this food and then I'll be happy. But how many of you have gone on vacations and had an amazing time and then get back home and you're like, oh, I need a vacation from my vacation. Or you've been like, oh, I'm back. Now what's next? Where am I going to go next? Few of us get back from a nice long vacation and think, oh, man, I'm good for another year. I don't need to go anywhere. I am content. My soul is satisfied. I feel good. The pizza I had last night is great. I don't need pizza for another 3 months. You know, I'm good. It doesn't happen. The soul can't get satisfied. All right, there's moments of satisfaction. But if we put our priority in our soul, in the end, we're going to be even more discontent than we were before. We got to take care of our soul, not neglect it. We need to meet our desires, you know, here and there, but we cannot let it be priority over our lives. You see, the body and the soul, they're meant to be tended to. They're meant to be taken care of, but they're not meant to be our God. They're not meant to be our priority. The spirit of our God is meant to be our priority. What lasts forever? What gives us strength, grace, love, joy that never ceases? The Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will not fail us. He is a well that never runs dry. So what does it look like to value the Holy Spirit over the body and over the soul? Daniel 6:10 reads that 3 times a day, Daniel would bow on his knees before God and pray and give thanks to the Lord. Daniel knew that the source of his strength was God's presence in his life. So he prioritized being in God's presence. He also fasted different times to clear his mind, to hear from God more clearly, to feel the Spirit more intimately. So am I saying the key is to pray 3 times a day and to fast now and then? No, that's not the key. More than the actions, more than working and striving, it's about your heart. It's about your heart posture before the Lord. Are you hungry for more of him? Or are you hungry more for McDonald's? Are you hungry more for traveling? Are you asking God, God, I want more for you, more of you? Or are you asking God, I want more money and vacation? Where is the position of your heart? And what are you asking God? To prioritize the spirit over mind and body means to pursue our God and ask for his spirit. It means to talk to God and to ask for more. It means when you open the Bible, you ask God, God, I pray you speak to me. It's not that you do this regimen that you got to read 4 chapters and then God will bless you. It's not, oh, you got to fast 10 days and then God will bless you. It's not works. It's relationship. It's asking. It's just asking for him in our lives. Once again, Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Your body and your soul can't conjure up a love for God. Only his spirit can. Self-help isn't the answer. Spirit help is. Okay? Self-help isn't the answer. All those books, all right, they're helpful to a degree. Maybe you'll have some grace to be able to diet a little better or to think a little bit more clearly. I'm not saying these books are evil, self-help, but they're not the answer. You put your hope in the self-help, you will be disappointed. But you put your hope in the Spirit, you will not be disappointed. We need to ask for his spirit and he will fill us. We need to ask for his love and he will pour out willingly to us. We just have to ask, God, I want to know you. God, I want to feel you. God, I want to hunger for you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. So whatever love that we have to give to others is love that we have already received from God. And I know each and every one of you, whether you've prayed or read the Bible, you've grown in the Holy Spirit as a Christian as a result of difficult people in your life. All right, there have been that difficult coworker, that difficult boss, that difficult relative, all right, that small group member that was really hard, all right, that team member that was really difficult. There has been specific people in your lives where you've tried to do it with your body and you've tried to do it with your soul. Think positive thoughts. And then when you get with that person, you run out. You run out of love, you run out of joy, you run out of all the goodness within you, and you start to act in your flesh. And you realize, wow, my mind and my body aren't enough. And suddenly you're on your knees. All right, maybe you weren't on your knees before, but because of this person, you're now on your knees. And you're saying, God, I need grace to love this person. God, I need grace to go to work and to face this person. And look what you're doing. You're now prioritizing the spirit over the soul and over the body. And you receive that love and you receive that grace and you get stronger. And so you're able to love that person. But the sad thing is so many Christians, they finally get over it. And then they shift back over here and they keep living. And then God says, okay, I want you to grow with me. I love you. So I'm going to give you more difficult people in your life. Now let's be smart and think, God, I don't want your discipline. I don't want to have to wait for trials and struggles in order to grow. Help me just stay right here and just keep asking for more and just keep asking for more so that when those difficult people come, I'm already flowing. I'm already moving in the spirit. I'm not relying on my body and on my soul. I'm relying on you, Holy Spirit, and it's easy. Don't wait, God. Don't wait for God to send you trials in order for you to grow with him. Seek him today. Ask God for more today. Even if your hunger is this much, that's all you need. You just got to say, God, I want to know you more. And I tell you, if you pray that prayer every day, even if it's just a 10-second prayer, God, I want to know you more. You keep praying that, you're going to experience him more and more and more in your life. And as you taste and see that God is good, those 10 seconds are going to turn to 20 seconds and to 30 seconds and longer and longer. And it's not going to be this religious thing of, I have to do this. I have to go to morning prayer. It's not going to be that. It's going to be, I desire you, God. You're better. I've realized that your love is the love that never ceases. Your love is the love that satisfies. For me, when I was in college, I grew a lot with the Lord during that time. And that was one of my prayers that I kept praying is, God, I want to hunger for you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And starting my sophomore year, I learned the discipline of fasting. And so I started to fast just once a month. And I would fast and then, you know, I would pray. And my prayer times weren't that long. But as the years went by, my prayer times got longer and longer. And fasting became more and more of just something that was normal in my life. I was doing it once a week, just fasting and asking God, I just want more of you. I didn't have all these like specific prayer requests. It was just, God, I'm enjoying you. I want to know you more. And you know, during my last 2 years, when I was fasting like that, I would still go to the gym during the week. I would go to the gym twice a week and work out. And, you know, because I was fasting one day a week, I couldn't work out like tons of days. My body would need time to recover from the fast. And then when I would work out, I couldn't, you know, go nuts with it. And I would look at other guys, and, you know, in the gym, especially in college, we call them meatheads. You know, these guys that are just like all muscle and they're huge. And, you know, they're standing in front of the mirror, you know, and then they're looking. You know, you see this at the gym all the time, right? And I'll just be honest. I would look at them and be like, man. I wish I was jacked like that. Like I wish I could have that. But then as I would think about the fasting and think about prayer, I would just these words would come out of my mouth and I would say, God, I want you more. You're better than that ripped body. God, I want to be spiritually ripped more than I want to be physically ripped. God, I want to be mighty in your spirit more than I want to be mighty in my flesh. And those prayers motivated me to seek God even more. Because, you know, we see with our eyes in the physical right now, and we see each other growing older. You know, I look on Facebook and someone I hadn't seen for 10 years, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Now I look at a picture from me from 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like, what's happened? You know, and you see this, And you realize, like, oh, man, with our eyes, like, we're wasting away. But the Bible says in the Spirit, we're growing stronger with every day. We're growing more and more mighty with every day, as long as we're seeking the Lord. And in the Spirit, you know, I think of, like, those Japanese anime. You know, I don't know if you guys ever watch anime or these cartoons, but, you know, they got these guys that are, like, 20 times bigger than the normal people. And it's just, like, they're amazing. And anime puts in this spirit stuff that we read about in Daniel that, you know, the non-Christians would be like, oh, he's got spirit about him. But you see this in the anime where they know that, like, some of these guys, they look like puny humans, but spiritually, there's something mighty about them. So with one punch, you know, they knock everybody out. Okay, somebody got that reference. That's how it is in the spirit. If you guys prioritize the spirit over the soul and the body, these people might have the brains, and they might remember stuff until they're about 60 or 70, and then it'll fade away. Or they might have the body until they're 50 or 60, and then it'll fade away. But if you're going in the spirit, man, when you're 70, when you're 80, when you're 90, you're going to be even stronger then and mightier then than ever before. The spirit is what we have to prioritize. Second key for you guys for growing in an excellent spirit. Number two. Make decisions by faith and not by sight. I just talked about this. Physical eyes versus spiritual eyes. Make decisions by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, another life verse, very short. You can memorize this right now. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we are Christians, we're not supposed to be focused on the body and on the soul and with our physical eyes. We're supposed to be focused on faith. Seeing in the spirit, walking by faith and not by sight. So what does this look like? Now, this is one of the life lessons for me that's really shaped my life. And I hope you guys get this. I may have shared it with some of you before, but I wanted to get deep into you. I'm going to share about Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of faith. This is a guy who walked by faith and not by sight. He was given promises by God on multiple occasions, and he just believed it and he walked with it, even though he saw nothing in the natural. And he just kept walking with the Lord, and he became more and more blessed, as did his nephew, Lot. So much to the point where Abraham had so much possessions and so many blessings, and Lot had so many possessions, so many blessings, that they said, look, we can't live together any longer. There's not enough land all around us to take care of us. So you go one way, and I'll go the other. And Abraham gave Lot the decision. Abraham said, look, Lot, I'll let you have first choice. You just look around, whatever direction you want to go, you can go. I'll go the opposite direction. Because I know that my blessing is in the Lord, and no matter what direction I go, God's going to take care of me. But Lot, he didn't live by faith. He lived by sight. And this is how Lot made the decision for himself. Genesis 13, 10 and 11 says, Lot lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his physical eyes. And he saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley. That included Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the direction that Lot wanted to go. So Lot looks around, he sees desert, he sees wilderness, okay, he sees some barren land, and then he sees the Jordan Valley, and he sees green, he sees rivers, he sees life, he sees just prosperity. And for him, it's like, well, you know, I could go to this really poor, desolate land, or I could go to the riches over here. I'm going to choose the physical land that looks great for my family. So he went going by sight. Abraham said, okay, you go that way. I'm going to go this other way, the way of the wilderness. I'm going to just trust in the Lord. Abraham went by the way of faith. And who ended up being blessed? We read that Abraham inherited so many promises, so many blessings. He became the father of faith for not just Christianity, but for the Jews, even for the Muslims. He's considered the father of faith. This man was amazing. The line of Jesus came from Abraham. He was blessed. But Lot, he chose to live by sight, and he lost everything except for his two daughters. He lost everything, including his wife, except for his two daughters, because his trust was in his sight. It was not in faith. God cannot bless doubt. God cannot bless godlessness. God can't bless us when we ignore God and we put our faith in things of this world. Like, this place is the answer. This thing is the answer. And we're not including God in that decision. God can't bless that. I don't care where you go. I don't care what job opportunity you have. It's going to fall apart at some point, like it did with Lot. But what God can bless is faith. You make a decision with God, especially a decision that requires faith, and you're feeling the Spirit's leading. How can God not bless that? God loves his children. He loves you, and he's going to bless you like he blessed Abraham. This story is such a life lesson for me as a missionary. You know, when I first came out, I had one supporter, and she supported enough for me to live off of for 1 year. And then she said, look, I got to scale it back. I can't give you as much before, so as much going forward. And so I prayed and I asked God, I need supporters and I need this much money. And I wrote all these support letters and I thought of people that, you know, would give me money. And you know, I'm putting my faith in these people and writing these letters like, oh, you know, I helped disciple this person. You know, I impacted this person's life. Surely they'll give. Now, when I wrote those letters, my faith was not in God. My faith was in the person I was writing to. And I sent out all those letters, and you know how much response I got? Zero. Zero. No one responded. And I started panicking. Like, God, you want me to be a missionary, but no one's supporting me, and what's going on? I was a little bitter. You know, why aren't these people helping me? And God spoke to me very clearly and said, look, if you're going to be a blessing to all of Korea, not just this little orphanage, but if you really believe that I have plans for you to bless this whole nation, then you better live by faith. And you better not be trusting and looking at people as, oh, this person can support me. Oh, you have wealth? Hey, you know, here's my letter. Hey, let me tell you about the orphans and try and convict you. God said, I despise that heart. You love. You love selflessly. In fact, you go to places where they can't even support you. Go to the colleges and speak there and get their prayer support. And even if you ask for support, they'll be like, we don't have any money. We're college students. And so I obeyed. And God has blessed me. God has blessed, you know, Sky as well, as we've been living this way by faith. This is what God desires. And I've seen this so many times in counseling people in this church where I see some people and they come to me and they're like, I'm praying and I got these different options and I'm asking for God to guide me and I just want to go his way. And this has this potential and this has this potential and this has this potential. And there'll be times where we'll pray and we'll feel God leading and they'll take that step of faith. They'll take that. And I just know, man, God's going to take care of you. There's other times where there's no guidance from the Lord. We're just praying and we're not really sure. And I'll just be like, hey, you know, I just feel like God's giving you these options. He loves you and he's pleased with you seeking him. And that whatever you choose, you're going to be blessed because you're seeking him. But then I've counseled other people and they've been like, look, this job, this school is the answer. This country, I got to move there. That's the answer to my happiness. That's the answer. This is what I have to do in order to be blessed. And when people do that and they're not, and they're like, God will tag along. God will follow me wherever I go. They're treating their decision like Lot. Lot was a man of faith. Lot was a good man, all right, but he made mistakes. And this is one of his greatest mistakes, was just thinking, God will just be with me where I go. I'm just going to make this decision. This is what my soul feels. This is how I feel. This will be the answer. I see this so much with friends in America or choosing jobs that look great or different things, but they're not including God in their decisions. And I watch their faith crumble. And I watch even their finances crumble. We have to live by faith and not by sight. We have to ask God for his Holy Spirit. We have to include faith in our decisions. If you're making decisions without any faith, how can God bless you? Our decisions have to involve God. They have to involve a measure of faith. And even if you, quote unquote, make the wrong decision or you feel like, oh, I should have chosen this, and maybe God was leading this, God will still bless you because you're choosing faith. You have nothing to fear. Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Our trust must be in God. We have to look to him. I'm going to read Proverbs 16:3. This is a life verse for me. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. I like the NIV better. says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Live by faith. Commit it to God. Seek the Spirit. God, I'm praying about this job venture. I'm praying about, you know, pursuing this person. I'm praying about these different things. And sometimes God will speak to you very clearly. Sometimes he won't. But if you commit it to him, you got nothing to fear. Things might not go exactly as you planned, but you will still end up blessed. You're safe. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. For Sky and I, when we were at Itaewon back in 2014, early 2014, we felt in our spirit, we were praying, we pray every week, and we were praying, and we felt like our time at Itaewon was coming to a close. And this wasn't something that we wanted. We loved Itaewon, our heart was at Itaewon, but we could just sense that God was saying, it's about time for you to move on. And we saw the leadership was strong at Itaewon. Pastor Marcus had everything in good hands. And that even our presence there, if we were to continue to be at Itaewon, we could actually hinder the church. Not in sin, but in terms of hindering their growth. Because people would keep looking to us for responsibilities when really other people need to be raised up. And so we prayed and we said, okay, God, you know, where do you want us to go and what do you want us to do? And shortly after that, the core gathered. And Pastor Christian expressed his heart about Hongdae and his desire to move the congregation to Hongdae, but to leave a remnant campus, Shilim campus, to leave it here. But there was a need for campus pastor. And so we prayed and we just felt our heart move. Like, wow, all right, this seems right. Shilim seems right. This is where we feel the Lord is leading us. And so we spoke with Itaewon and you know, God led us here. We started Shilim, and we have zero regrets. It has been such a blessing. But you know, in 2012, if we had just up and gone to Shilim without praying about it, you know, and tried it then, it would have been a mess. It would have been so difficult. If you try and do ministry without having some sort of conviction or leading the Holy Spirit, it gets hard. It gets really difficult. There's no grace. There's no grace for it, and you're just operating out of your body and out of your soul. Because God hasn't led you to that place. God hasn't given you that conviction. And so you're just trying to love and you're trying to do your best. God wants us to be led by him. And so Shilim, it's been difficult, guys. Shilim, we had a March Madness like 2 years ago where all sorts of things happened in the congregation. There have been other things that have, you know, been really tiring for Pastor Sky and I. Really exhausting, not just physically, but emotionally as well. But God has given us grace because he led us here. Okay, and it's been so good. And I want that for each and every one of you and all that you do and all that you serve in the church and all that you do in your life, that you're led by the Lord, that you feel his spirit, that you're stepping in faith, and that you experience his grace. Psalm 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So in summary so far, the first key for cultivating an excellent spirit is to value his spirit over mind and body. The second key for developing an excellent spirit within you is to live by faith and not by sight. Both of these keys emphasize faith over feeling, spirit over flesh, living as a person of God's kingdom rather than living as a person of this earth. You see, an excellent spirit isn't about works. It isn't about striving. It's about just being with him, asking for more of him, seeking his direction in the spirit rather than seeking your direction based on the physical. Third key, last key that I have for you guys for cultivating an excellent spirit is do it for others. Do it for others. Daniel lived to serve the kings he was assigned to. That was his purpose, was to serve his kings. And he lived to pray for his people, the Jews, and to advise the kings in a way that would benefit his people. Daniel's purposes were not selfish. Daniel wasn't living to have an excellent body. Daniel wasn't living so that he could travel the world. Daniel wasn't living based on the things of his flesh or the things of his soul. He was living based on love. He was living based on serving others. And he had such an excellent spirit that even the angels described him as being a man highly esteemed. Even the angels esteemed him. Here's another life verse of mine, Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. What is an inheritance? It's something that you work for all your life, and then you give to your children or to your heirs. It's something that you worked, blood, sweat, tears, that you earned, and now you are giving selflessly to your children or to your other heirs. And this man in Proverbs 13:22, he is labeled as good because his inheritance isn't just for his kids, it's for his grandkids. What does this imply? It implies that this man lives selflessly, not for his personal gain, but for the gain of others, especially for his family. If you have an inheritance to give to your grandchildren, that means you lived a selfless life. That means that your purpose wasn't me, me, me. It was for the next generation. It's for others. It's to bless them. This is why saving your money is so powerful, because saving your money is an epitome, especially if you're saving not for your flesh, you know, and to travel, to get all these gadgets, you know, and to do things for your own desire. It's okay to save money for that, but when you're saving your money towards someone, all right, towards marriage, towards your future children, okay, towards the future for even your grandkids, that's something that God delights in, because you're being selfless, because you're saying, my money is not my own. This is for others. God has blessed me with this wealth to be a blessing to others. God delights in that. Doing it for others doesn't just include money, though. Here's another verse for you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. When I was 19, I worked for Becker Electric. That's my granddad's electrician's company. And I work construction. I did this twice in my life, once after my first year of college for the summer, and then again later after I graduated for about 6 months before I came to Korea. And the first time I did it, I was 19, and I wasn't that mature, okay? I was still, you know, growing and developing in my character. And I would work from 6:30 in the morning to 2:30 on a construction site, and I would install outlets, I would install lights, you know, all these lights in the ceiling. This is what I would do. I would run the wire and do all that. And in the middle of the summer, you're sweating, wearing the hard hat, you know, drilling. Just, you get really dirty. I was just going at it. And my mindset was, I just got to do this job to get it over with so I can get a paycheck. So I would install the outlets, you know, I would put the lights in, and I would think, that's good enough. That'll earn me my paycheck. But then my boss would come by every time, and he would look at what I had done, and even when it looked like 99% good, he would put that level on, and he would tweak it just like that. You know, he would fix, and some of the things, like, it needed a bit more fixing, and then he would look at me, and he would say, we do a good job here, Johnny. We do a good job. He's the only person to call me Johnny, all right? We do a good job here, Johnny. We do a good job. And, you know, the next day, I'm working on something. He comes and inspects it, fix this, I do that better, make that look nicer. We do a good job here, Johnny. We do a good job. And that started to just get in my mind, okay? So the point where I would be working on something, I'd be like, that's good enough. And we do a good job here, Johnny. Okay, I'm going to make it perfect. And what my boss and what my dad also kept speaking to me was, this electrician's work isn't just to make money. This is to serve others. And I was actually working on a school then. I was in elementary school in Alexandria, Virginia, the same school my dad went to. That's kind of weird. But I was working on that school. They were renovating it. And they were like, this is for the kids and for the teachers. You're doing it for people. And, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you can go back to this school and you can look up at the lights and you can look at the outlets and say, I did that. And notice, they're not all like out of order. You know, look at that straight line. Look how nice that looks. Look at just how good the wall looks. Look at these different things. I did that. And they say, you need to take pride in your work and you need to think of others. This isn't for you. This is for others. We do a good job here, Johnny. This is something that got in my mind, and it began to make me think about, would I want my 19-year-old self to be working on my house? Would I want my 19-year-old self to be teaching my kids? Oh, he's just teaching for the paycheck. he's just doing enough that he has to do, you know, the curriculum to get by. Oh, he's just, you know, the outlet, it's there, it works, you know, it's a little crooked, but, you know, it's there. You know, would I want someone like that serving my family? Of course not. Get away from here. I want someone that takes pride in their work. I want someone that does it for others. Because those are the people that are going to teach my kids well. Those are the people that my kids are going to respect. Because they're going to know, man, this person's not just here because I got to be here to teach. Kids know that. Kids in my orphanage know when volunteers come and the volunteers are there for the kids, or when the volunteers are there to, hey, can you sign this? I got my 10 hours. Kids know it. All right, and so much more should we be aware of those around us. Who is living excellently and who is living just according to the flesh? Who is doing it for others and who's just being sloppy? And this is something, especially teenagers and young adults, you got to learn quickly. We do a good job here, Johnny. We do a good job. Do it for your own name. All right, we do a good job here, Anna. There's multiple Annas, so you can all feel conviction. All right, we do a good job here. All right. Don't do stuff just to get by. When you do it for others, that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. God is love. All right? Love is selfless. Love is the cross. Love is for others. Love is caring for others. And if you're truly living in love, you're not like my 19-year-old self. It's just doing it for the paycheck, doing it for myself, just trying to get it over with. But rather, you're doing it as a son and daughter of the light. My life here on earth is short, and I want what I do, whether it's my hobby, whether it's my work, whatever it is, I want it to bless God, and I want it to bless others. That is excellent. That is an excellent spirit. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you all, cultivate an excellent spirit. You were made for so much more. Know that an excellent spirit depends first on simply asking God for more of him, asking him to fill you. It just starts with looking at him. And the longer you look at him, the more you're going to learn how to live by faith, how to see in the spirit, because you're looking at God rather than to live by sight, living by the flesh like you used to live. And the more that you start to live by faith and you start to see him in the spiritual, the more you're going to receive his love. And the more you're going to realize your true purpose, it's not about yourself. It's about glorifying God, and it's about loving others. It's about doing it for others. And as you live that way, people around you are going to say, there's something supernatural about that person. There is something different about that person. That person has an excellent spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So you look to the Lord, he will surely do it in your life. Let me pray for y'all. God, I lift up Shelem to you. I lift up your people and all those that are listening to this as well, God. And I pray grace, grace for an excellent spirit, that your people will truly be light and salt here on earth. God, that first and foremost, we will start seeking you, and we won't look to you as an obligation. We won't look to you as something that we have to do because it's religion, but we'll look to you as a relationship, someone we want to know, just like someone we're interested in here on earth, that will have that same desire for you, God, and that we'll just start asking. And even if we don't even have it, God, that you will give grace to your people to say those short words, that 10-second prayer every day. God, I want to know you more. God, I want to know your spirit. And God, I bless your people, God, that they will not just receive your spirit, but that they will begin to see in the spirit, that their decisions will not be made based on fear or anxiety or just what they see with their fleshly eyes, God, but that their decisions will be led by faith, led by your spirit with excitement and knowing that you are with them. And God, may you fill this church with your spirit, God, that we will be excellent in all that we do, that we'll do it all for others, God, that this church will not be a selfish church, but this church will be a selfless bride, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, pure, loving one another, caring for one another out of the joy of the Lord. I bless this church as a spiritual church. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.